So we will go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning, and we do pray that you would please bless all of those who are working during this pandemic. We do pray for our first responders. We pray for our sanitation department. We pray for our nutrition workers, those who are working in school lunchrooms and cafeterias, and those who are preparing and providing us with food during this time. We pray for those working in grocery stores, convenience stores. We pray for those working in the jail. We pray for safety and health and protection. And we do pray for all those who are at home, and for our shut-ins, especially those not able to get out at all. We pray for our elderly population. We do pray that you would protect them from this virus, and we pray for those doing research, and we pray that you would heal those with the virus. We are happy to hear of those who have been healed, but we also mourn for those families who have lost loved ones. And we do pray that you would just bless in all these situations, bless the medical workers, those working in the hospitals, the doctor's offices. We do pray that you would bless us and help us and just give us protection. And we pray for those researching to find a cure for this. And we pray that a cure would be found. And we do pray that vaccine would be developed and that therapeutics would be developed. And we thank you for what's already going on. We pray for those all around the world having church services this morning that are preaching the Word of God faithfully and preaching salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We pray that you would bless them and anoint them with the fullness of your Holy Spirit. And please bless me now as I preach thy word, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for my sins. I do ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. Well, as we preach this morning, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 27. And so Genesis chapter 27, last week we looked at chapter 26, and in chapter 26 we looked at Isaac, and we looked at his story and how he redug the wells that his father had dug, and how he dug a few new wells as well. And we also looked at how he repeated one of his father's sins in that he told a lie in order to protect himself. And so when we come to chapter 27, in fact, when we ended chapter 26, we saw that, that Esau, one of Isaac and Rebekah's sons, ended up marrying some girls that their parents didn't approve of, that Esau's parents didn't approve of. And so when we get to chapter 27, we really see some real problems going on in the family. Of course, this family is part of the patriarchs, and Jacob's line, Isaac, and then his son Jacob, led to the nation of Israel, and then ultimately to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the title of the message this morning is A Dysfunctional Family. A Dysfunctional Family. Genesis chapter 27 and verses 1 through 46. And we'll look at that this morning. The first thing that we're going to see is in verses 1 through 5, the request for food. The request for food. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now, this is a very interesting thing because Isaac wanted to bless his son Esau. Now, Isaac had to have known that it was Jacob that God intended to have the blessing. In fact, in Genesis 27:33, the Bible is going to tell us that he suddenly realizes that it was Jacob that had the blessing, that was to have the blessing. But the reason that he should have known that it was Jacob that should have the blessing rather than Esau is because God had told his wife that it would be Jacob. And indeed, as far as the birthright was concerned, Jacob had gotten the birthright. And so Isaac should have certainly known, because your wife is going to tell you things, right? I mean, that's what happens to me. If my wife knows something, she's going to let me know. And so she would have let him know. Furthermore, you know, Isaac was a person who prayed. He was a person who, at least younger in his life, had been a spiritual person. I mean, he hadn't run away when his father Abraham had taken him up the mountain and had raised the knife to offer him. Isaac certainly could have run away, but he didn't. He cooperated in that. So he'd certainly been a spiritual person. So Isaac could have sought God and known. And no doubt he did know that the blessing should rightly belong to Jacob. But Isaac, in his older age, decided that he preferred Esau to Jacob. Obviously, Esau was a hunter. Esau was a man's man. Esau was basically a redneck. He went out, he hunted, and Jacob liked the food that he caught and that he cooked. Or rather, Isaac did. Isaac liked the food that he caught and he cooked. And so Isaac had determined within himself that he was going to bless his older son. His younger, as we shall soon see. His younger son had already taken the birthright from Esau. In fact, Esau gave him the birthright. He didn't steal it from him. Esau had been out hunting, and he came in. He was tired, and Jacob was cooking a bowl of soup. And Esau said, "Give me some of that soup. Give me some of that red stew that you're cooking." And Jacob, who was a tricky person, said, "Well, sell me your birthright." Now, they could sell their birthrights, their birthrights. They could sell their birthrights. And so he had said, "Sell me your birthright." And so Esau said, "What good is my birthright? What good is my inheritance going to do me when I'm about to die of hunger?" So he took the soup and sold his birthright to his brother. And the Bible in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament calls him a profane person because he despised his birthright. And so now he's about to lose his blessing, as we shall soon see as we read on. So verse 5, the Word of God says, "And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it." And so now we see the deceitful plan. The deceitful plan in verses 6 through 17. "And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Of course, Isaac was old, and his eyesight was very bad. He was basically blind. And so his son Jacob is not really worried about the fact that he's going to trick his father. He's more or less worried that his father is going to discover the trick. And so you see here the mother and one son are plotting against the father and the other son, and the father, instead of getting in tune with God and saying, well, Jacob is, even though he's not technically the firstborn, because when they were born, Esau came out of the womb first. They were twins, but Esau came out of the womb first. So instead of saying, well, even though he's not technically the firstborn, yet I know that God intends to bless Jacob instead of Esau. But instead of doing that, he's trying to go around God's plan. He's trying to make sure that Esau gets the blessing because he's his favorite son. He shows favoritism towards his children. He likes one son better than the other. And indeed, the mother likes Jacob better than Esau. And the mother and the son are plotting against the father. And the father and the other son are plotting against the other son. And it's a dysfunctional situation at home. And perhaps you yourselves come from a dysfunctional situation. And we're going to further see what happens in this family. It's amazing how the families of the patriarchs were a lot like our families. Because you're not dealing with superheroes. You're dealing with sinners. You're dealing with people. And that's the way people are. So he says, my father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. So she's dressing Jacob up like Esau. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And that's to make him hairy like Esau, his brother. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared unto the hand of her son Jacob. So now we see, after this deceitful plan is worked out, now we see, number three, the tricky blessing in verses 18 through 29. The tricky blessing. It was a blessing, but it was gotten through deceit and through trickery. So verse 18, the word of God says, and he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat for my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. So he said, get up and eat. Sit up and eat. I've got you the venison that you want. I want you to eat that venison so that you can bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. This is a very deceitful thing. Now, the truth of the matter is that God wanted him to have the blessing. God intended for him to have both the birthright and the blessing, as God had said while they were in the womb. The elder shall serve the younger. God intended this. But the truth of the matter is that the way they went about getting it was wrong. It was wrong. It was sinful. And so they come to the Father. You know, I'm thinking of that old quote from Bob Jones Sr., who said, "It's never right to do wrong to get right." I believe that was Bob Jones Sr. It may not have been, but at any rate, it's a great quote. It's never right to do wrong to get right. And a lot of times we try to accomplish God's plans by doing wrong, by doing the wrong thing, something we know is wrong, in order to make something right happen. And that's never a right thing to do. But that's what Jacob and his mother did. And Jacob lies to his father, and he says something very bad. He says, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Kind of reminds me, when I was in Bible college, there was a student there who stole some money. And he actually stole some of my money. He stole $50 from me. And when he stole it, he went around telling people that God had given him money so that he could go to the Valentine's banquet. So, because you had to buy tickets to go to the Valentine's banquet and take your girl to the Valentine's banquet. And he told people that God had given him the money. And the truth is, if he had asked me for the money, I would have given it to him. That wouldn't have been a problem. I would have given him the money, but he didn't ask. He knew I had money in my drawer, and he stole it. But then he said, "God gave me the money." And so this is the same thing that Jacob has done. He says, "The Lord thy God brought it to me." And it was actually a trick. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." Because, of course, Jacob doesn't sound like Esau. Jacob is not a great voice actor. Perhaps he tried to do his brother's voice and to make it sound like his brother, but his father knows. His father can hear, and he does not sound like Esau. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Now think about this. Isaac trusted what he felt above what he heard. Isaac trusted what he felt above what he heard. And how many people do that every day? They hear the voice of God through the Bible, through the Word of God. They hear the voice of God speaking. And instead of doing what the Bible says, they go with what they feel. They say, "This feels right. It feels right." But it's not what the Bible says. And indeed, Jacob said, "This doesn't sound right. It sounds like Jacob, but it feels like Esau." And he went with his feelings rather than the Word. And that's always a mistake. Verse 24, "And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am." He's continuing to lie. Perhaps Jacob here is testing his son, or Isaac rather. Perhaps Isaac here is testing his son. Perhaps Isaac thinks, well, if it is Jacob trying to trick me, because I know he's a trickster, if I keep asking him, eventually he's going to feel guilty. And he's going to tell me the truth. But Jacob doesn't. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And he wants this blessing. He's already got the birthright, and now he wants the blessing. And he's willing to do what he has to do to get it. So verse 25, and he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. So there's one more test. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. So he's going to do one final test. He's going to say, come near and kiss me, and he's going to smell him to see if he smells like his son Esau. So he smells the smell of his raiment. He's wearing Esau's clothes. He smells like Esau. And he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God, give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And so, now, Jacob has the blessing. He has so far gotten the birthright, and he's now got the blessing through trickery. And so that leads us to number four, point number four, and that is the disappointed brother in verses 30 through 40. And I don't know if you can hear me. I assume you can hear me, if you're listening to this, that you can hear me drinking the water. If we were here in church, that's a constant thing. I drink water while I preach and constantly draw attention to it and comment on it. Because the usual way we record, it sounds really loud. But the way I'm recording now, I don't think it'll sound as loud. Nonetheless, you're getting an authentic experience. But let's move on to verse 30 once again. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. So very quickly, he's just left, and Esau walks in the house. And he also had made savory meat, and he brought it to his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. You see, at this point, Isaac realizes, he says, he shall be blessed. He realizes this is God's will. He should have known it was God's will. Surely his wife had told him what God told her. And maybe he dismissed her the way a lot of us men do. And said, oh, you're just a crazy woman. But I doubt it. I think probably that he knew. He knew. And he didn't want to admit it because he wanted his son, Esau, who he liked better than Jacob, to receive the blessing, even though he knew in his heart that it belonged to Jacob. But he wanted Esau to have it. And so now he acknowledges in faith, yea, and he shall be blessed. And in fact, the book of Hebrews says that by faith he blessed his son. And his faith was in realizing after he had blessed his son that he would be blessed. That this was God's will. So he says, yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. Of course, the name Jacob means trickster, supplanter. And indeed, Jacob was a deceiver. He was a trickster. Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And the book of Hebrews says in chapter 12 and verse 17, for ye know how that afterwards when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And this, as we said last week, this has nothing to do with his salvation. Preachers have taken this verse and used it to teach that that if you don't get saved on God's schedule, that you can cry and beg God to save you, and he'll refuse to save you, though you seek it with tears. And that's just as unscriptural and as unbiblical as can be. And usually in order to prove that, they use this verse taken out of context, and then they'll use a story about somebody who wanted to be saved, was dying in a car accident or some other situation and wanted to be saved, but God refused to save them. And indeed, that is very similar to what happened with Isaac when Isaac trusted his feelings over what he heard. Because if we would hear the word of God, then we would hear that the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. The truth of the matter is that God wants to save you more than you want to be saved. Jesus Christ said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There is no way that God will reject you and cast you out if you come to him. Indeed, the Bible says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And so salvation is a free gift that God wants to give you. And if you had committed the unpardonable sin, if you had committed the unpardonable sin, then the truth is you would have no desire at all to be saved. You wouldn't even ask Jesus to save you. But the truth of the matter is, if you have any desire to be saved, if you understand, you know, Curtis Hudson used to say if a person was dying and needed to call an ambulance, would they have to have any special feeling to call the ambulance, or would the fact that they were dying be enough to get them to call 911? And the truth of the matter is that if you know that you're a sinner, and you know that you are lost and on your way to hell, if you know those things, then simply believe that Jesus Christ died for you. The fact that you're a sinner and on your way to hell, and the fact that Jesus died for you on the cross and was buried and rose from the dead, that in itself ought to be enough to get you to call on the name of the Lord and to believe his gospel message. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible goes on to say, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So if you have any desire at all, or if you just don't want to go to hell, and you believe the gospel message today, call on the Lord, call on Jesus Christ, and ask him to save you. And God will indeed give you repentance and saving faith as gifts, and he will save you. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the fact that salvation is not of yourselves ought to be enough assurance to tell you that it doesn't matter how you feel. It just matters what the Word says. Believe the Word and be saved today. There's many people that have been told by a preacher, you've committed the unpardonable sin and you cannot be saved. And I will tell you that that is heresy. It is blasphemous to a God who loves you and died on the cross for your sin. You can be saved if you will be saved. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And so, when the Bible says, for you know that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, so he sought it carefully with tears. The truth of the matter is that what that is talking about is he found no place. Esau found no way to go back and undo what had been done. He couldn't have a change, because the word repentance means to change your mind. He couldn't have a change. He couldn't go back and undo what had been done. He found no place of repentance. And there's a lot of times in life when we want to go back and undo something that's been done, and we can't. The truth of the matter is that a lot of people want to undo a bad thing that has happened to them in the past or a bad situation. And sometimes you can't go back, but you can go forward. Genesis 27 verse 39 says, and Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. So he gives him some hope. He says, when you have the dominion, you'll break his yoke off your neck. And John Gill says about this, he says, thou shalt have the dominion, not over the Israelites, the posterity of Jacob, which the Edomites, Esau's posterity, never had. But when they should get a greater degree of strength, power, authority, and dominion in the world, the Edomites should revolt from the posterity of Jacob and shake off the yoke of bondage and subjection that they had been long under, as they did in the times of Joram, the king of Judah, and set up a king of their own and continue in such a state of freedom for a long time. So basically, this is a promise to Esau's descendants. And it is saying, you're going to shake off the yoke of Jacob from off your necks, and you're not going to have dominion over Israel, but you are going to have your own kingdom. And so that was a promise to Esau's descendants, the Edomites. Now, the fifth thing we see is Esau's anger in verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and then will I slay my brother Jacob. So he said, my father's going to die, so I'm going to wait till he's dead, and then I'm going to slay my brother Jacob. And then we see in verses 42 through 46 that Jacob flees. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. And I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? So she said, I'm wearied because of Esau's wives. They drive me nuts. And I don't want my son to take a wife like that. So let's send him away. And we'll read more about that next week. But this was a truly dysfunctional family. But in summary, let me say that despite their family problems, they were still used by God. They were still used by God. And that means despite your family problems, that you can be used by God too. Look, everybody has family problems. Everybody. Everybody has. It doesn't matter. The nicest looking preacher that you see on television or on YouTube or on Facebook today has some kind of problems in their family. They fight with their wives too. Their children disobey too. They have problems. We all have problems. And so what we need to do is to understand that despite the fact that they had family problems, that these patriarchs, that they were still used by God. Number two, the lies were unnecessary. God's plan would have happened anyway. This is the thing. You never have to lie to accomplish God's plan. God's plan would have happened anyway. Jacob would have still gotten the birthright and the blessing. The lies were unnecessary. And number three, their problems were not caused by God's plan, but by rebellion against God's plan. You know, the truth of the matter is the family conflict that they had was not caused because God had selected Jacob instead of Esau. It was because they rebelled against that plan. It was because they tried to get it by trickery and deceit. It was because Isaac wanted to bless his older son rather than the younger one who was supposed to get the blessing. It's because they weren't following God, and instead they were trying to accomplish what they wanted through their own human means. And so perhaps if the parents had shown equal love to both children and had explained the situation to the children, it wouldn't have caused so much conflict. But instead, now we end the chapter with Jacob having to flee and Esau wanting to kill his brother. And so it's always better to do things God's way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this church and through this broadcast. And I do pray that you will bless us. I pray if anyone here doesn't have the assurance of their salvation, anyone listening is not saved, I pray that you would save their souls. I pray that you would flood their soul with assurance and faith, that they would believe in Jesus Christ and be saved and be certain of their salvation today. I pray if anyone's under a bondage today that thinks they can't be saved, or if anyone's under some other kind of spiritual bondage, I pray you would break that today through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. I do pray that you would bless us and help us to live for you this week. I pray if we have family conflict that we would go to you and pursue thy will rather than our own selfish wills, and that we would see you resolve our conflicts and bless our families. We pray that this time of being at home would be a time of revival in families all over America. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.